like an insect in the night, wanting artificial light.
That is sort of an artificial light, is it? It's not uncommon, is it? That's right.
Hey, welcome. It's the Complex Cornucopia Cerebellum Cocktail Hour. I'm your host, The Alchemist. Saturday, this is my first show of the year, January 10th, 2026. Man, 2025 went by like a rocket. Kind of came and went unbelievably so quickly. Yeah. So tonight, just, I don't know, there's really not much of a theme. Just welcoming you into the new year and playing a bunch of stuff. I'm using my ADD brain to use the good eclectic nature of my being here and present it to you. We've got a lot of great music, some comedy too. So stick around and have a good old time. That was Easily Charmed by Fools by the Claypool Lennon Delirium. Yes, that is Julian Lennon and Les Claypool working together. That was their third release, South of Reality. It came out in 2018. God, I hope they do a fourth. That was so much fun. This is, of course, Birth of the Shaft. Isaac Hayes, yes. Ron refined a 1995 release of his. Great instrumental track here. So, you know, as always, we're going to have a large variety of stuff. So I don't really want to single out anything at this moment in time. I'm just going to let this kind of ride out. So you stick around. I've got a lot of great stuff for you. And Happy New Year, all you folks out there. It's good to have you back.
Talk about his paintings and the shit that make him tick. I think his name was John something. If at the assembly you're allowed to cut the class, I was sunk into the bucket, yellow puffy on my lap. Bring on John something. Hot-blooded art freaks take the auditorium. Three quarters boorish, one quarter primordia. Keen to absorb the stories of veteran picture makers. Even if an unfamiliar name and face or mystery flavor, say, John something, who was punctual to the podium. Visibly uncomfortable, having trouble focusing. Noticing we're noticing, he pardons the glitch. Says, I'm sorry, but it's vital I depart from the script. To where? You had one job. John something, something's wrong with John. Something, something's on his mind. He been searching for the words. Even standing at the plate, I ain't anticipate the curve. He go, Last night I saw this new documentary and I cannot understate the extent to which it's affected me. I'm on the edge of my seat. He said, it's called When We Were Kings. This was 1996. He was there to show some photos that would demonstrate his gift. I think his name was John something. If at the assembly you were seeing something new, I'm a new fan before even seeing what he do. Like, bring on John something. When We Were Kings is a documentary feature on the 74 U.S. Heavyweight Boxing Championship. It's commonly referred to as the Rumble in the Jungle, where you come to punch or die as neither party's crying uncle. The champ George Foreman versus the kid Muhammad Ali and Zaire, and other politics involved in the affair, including rare footage leading up to the event, plus interviews with VIPs remembering the effects. So Mr. Something up there, present as it gets, talking Ali and his confidence, begetting his success, but almost referenced as a magic or some extrasensory X that he had witnessed and was duty-bound to tell to someone else, us. And truly, I was hung on every sentence, though it probably lasted longer than intended. It felt genuine, if a little strange. 30 minutes in, we have yet to see what you paint. Look. January 96, he was there to share his work. Maybe got us through the mist. I think his name was... If at the assembly, you were tripping off the tangent. But also, like, I need to see this flick. It sounds fantastic. Or so says John something. Low on time. John starts blowing through his slides. They were ultimately fine, but the takeaway is praise for this entirely other mind. I'm at the movie theater. This was Boston, 1996. 20 years of age, I'm an 80s Mike Tyson kid. We heard about that legendary clashing of the Titans, but could never have contextualized the metrics or environment until... 90 minutes of history and images and music, I was riveted infinity. That walkout different than you slithered in. Every atom in you shifting, christened in the river shit. And I still revisit it. This week, winter came, queued it up, hit play. It felt like someone visited. Anytime I pay it forward, I say this was recommended by one of my favorite artists. This person who in 1996 gave the only artist lecture I've remembered ever since. I think his name was Jane. Assembly and we're headed for the theater. You should put your hands together for the greatest ever speaker, who may or may not be named John.
People are still obsessed with pure races, which, by the way, there were pure races for 10 minutes when the earth cooled. That's when we had pure races, and then everyone just started fucking each other, and now we are what we are now. And by the way, have you ever met someone who's really Caucasian or mega Asian or super African? It's creepy. Pure races are like, oh God, one of you guys fuck a Mexican because this is way too much. The black, white, and yellow, I just think penguin. Get some earth tones in there, something. There's even a thing you can do. I've done this. It's called 23andMe. 23andMe is this company, and what you do is you spit in a cup, and then you mail the cup to some nerds, and then they look at it under, they spin it around and look at it under the microscope, and then they send you back a map of the world with all of your DNA markers on it and show you where all your DNA came from. So I did it. Send in my cup, get back my map, I unfold it, I'm looking at it, and sure enough, I got all the pasty countries covered. I had everyone. Yeah, there's Ireland and Sweden and England. I got it. Then I had a huge spike in Mongolia. How many years was my dad in Vietnam? And they have an 800 number. You can call them up and they'll go over your map with you. So I called them up and said, hey, I got my map. And there's all the pasty countries. And hey, what's with Mongolia? What's the deal with my Mongolian DNA? And the guy on the phone didn't even pause. He immediately just said, yeah, that's Genghis Khan. Sorry, what? He goes, yeah, that's Genghis. You're related to Genghis Khan. He goes, most people are related to Genghis Khan. I go, are you serious? He goes, oh, dude, Genghis Khan fucked everything. There are trees that are related to Genghis Khan. That's all he did was fuck. And that must have been some amazing cum in Genghis Khan's balls, because not only was he in tight, like, leather skin pants that do not breathe, like sperm-killing heat, then put him on a saddle for 10 hours a day, just a saddle, just crushing his nuts. Bam, boom, bam, bam. And then he would take over a village and get off the horse. Hey, everyone, look, really quick, I'm Genghis Khan. Before we go any further, it'll take 10 minutes, I'm just gonna fuck everybody. That's what I do, I fuck everybody. I'm really good. And his cum was like, why are we still talking? Let's make babies, let's do it. If I send a text near my nutsack, my bloodline is done. I have the weakest, I don't know why you added that emoji, Pat. We can't, there's no way. You cannot pass along your information, my friend.
The blues are throwing it all away. Just give me a tequila, I'll slam it the 4D way. And when I got there, you know, it had certain similarities, like no smoking anywhere, and hiding in the car seat to avoid paying the fare. 4D tequila, anyone? And don't think we didn't dance.
eyes. Leaders of the world, let me hypnotize.
Yeah. Oh, man, such a fantastic track, Groundation, there from their latest album, Candle Burning. So, incidentally, that record was up on a list of other reggae albums for a Grammy this year. And I'm like, oh, they have a chance to finally get one right, right? I think we all maybe remember, well, remember when they gave Jethro Tull Heavy Metal Album of the Year for Rock Island over Metallica's Black Album? And Jethro Tull is like apologetically accepting the awards. I didn't know we would have in that title. They're not. It was a good album. I actually owned it, but it's just not heavy metal, and it's just the Academy's a joke. So they have a chance to get everything over, you know, good content of substance over, you know, all the popularity contest of the world out there, and it's just, you know, that's what it is. It's a popularity contest. So fuck the Grammys. Fuck them. That's my final word on those bastards. All right, so before that, we had a little mega bottle ride from Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros from the Global Agogo record. Fantastic release. Came out in 2001. Of course, you know Joe Strummer is a member, or was a member, of the infamous band The Clash. That was his later project of his. Very fun stuff. Gil Scott-Heron before that from Pieces of a Man, 1971. Lady Day and John Coltrane. They'll wash your troubles away, man. You know it. That's some pretty cool music from that time period. We had a little comedy there from Patton Oswalt about his DNA and everybody being related to Genghis Khan. Very funny bit there. Great song before that. Kind of a funny tongue-in-cheek memory song by Aesop Rock from his latest, well, not his latest album. He did two albums last year. It was a 2025 release. It was from the album Black Hole Superette. And, whoa. Back that off with it. I think I'm hugging up. Anyway, Black Hole Superette. And that's one of the two albums he did last year, and the better of the two, in my opinion. So, yeah, I highly recommend that album. The other one's good, not as good. And then the previous interlude we had was Isaac Hayes, I'm sorry, from his Wrong Refined album called The Birth of the Shaft. This is Dave Ellis, local artist, played with Charlie Hunter back in the early days. This Charlie actually was actually featured on this record as well. It's his first solo record called The Raven, and this track is Always There. It's a very beautiful song. Okay, well, what do we got here? Well, we're looking for DJs. We have a lot of open slots in our schedule here. If you go to our website, you can just check out. You can see any place where it says open, you're definitely open. And even places where they have reruns, those places, you know, could be open as well. So if you're looking to do a show, you know, click on our show. Go shows at RadioValencia.fm. Send us an email. Send us an idea. We're looking for people. So, you know, if you've got some, you know, some gumption and you want to do this, you know, we'll be happy to bring you on here and, you know, check it all out. We're also looking for donations, always. So there's also a donate page on there. We're getting a facelift on our website currently. There's people working on it. The operators are standing by. Keep that dial going. Oh, well. Phone's not ringing, folks. Okay, All right. Please do help us keep this place alive one way or another. And if you want to be part of the party, we're looking for people. All right. So what do we got coming up in our next set here? We got a little Tomahawk and some Fishbone. And we got some Mastodon, amongst other things. So stick around. I will be back in a little bit to talk about all this good natured music. In the meantime, you just keep kicking it. Crack open a cocktail or make something up and whatever, and just be, man, just be. I'm an alchemist. This is Radio Valencia Complex Cornucopia Cerebellum Cocktail Hour on RadioValencia.fm. We'll be right back.
Sonny, cut a date with your VCR. Watch another action movie.
Goodbye.
Them crooked vultures there. No one loves me. Neither do I. Yeah. You know, I was kind of considering something the other day. It's kind of the nature of one of the major tenets of your Judeo-Christian faiths is love thy neighbor as thyself. It's a pretty good sentiment, actually, right? But I think the problem with that sentiment is how we think about ourselves. And that reflects on how we treat our neighbors, because it's evident in the world that we treat each other like garbage in general, especially in the nation, you know. But so you got to think there's a lot of self-loathing going on instead of self-love. Because if you really truly loved yourself, you would love your neighbor as thyself. And if you're loving your neighbor as thyself and you don't like yourself, that's where the problems start. So that kind of step kind of is an embolism. I'm having one right now. Yes, embolic. Whatever. I don't know. Something of that nature. My language is escaping me at the moment. Piggy, right before that. Downward Spiral by Nine Inch Nails. I got British in a half a second there. 1994 release. That was his seminal record that really just broke the ceiling for him. Once More Around the Sun. Yeah. Mastodon. Title track from their 2014 release. Love that band. Best metal band there is. Just period. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. So if you disagree with me, then we can agree to disagree. Great track from Fishbone there. Chim Chim's Badass Revenge was the first record they did after they broke from their record company. Psychologically Overcast, yes. I guess we struck a theme there. And the opening track to that set was God Hates a Coward by Tomahawk from their debut record that came out in the year 2001. This groovy little piece of jam is called Pocket Change by Lettuce from their album Crush, came out in 2015. They are actually up for a Grammy themselves this year. Yes, they actually got past. They got it into the final five. Well, I'm still saying fuck the Grammys because, yeah, fuck them. All right, anyway, yeah, but I like this band. Anyway, so what's coming up next? We get a little comedy from Beth Donahue and some Janis Joplin and Jeff Buckley and a lot of great stuff here. I am the Alchemist. This is the Complex Cornucopia Cerebellum Cocktail Hour. Well, I keep reminding you, if you want to do a show here, we have open spots. Yes, we do. So come check our page out and go to send your little note to shows at radiovalencia.fm and tell us your little idea and a little synopsis of what you want to do and how you want to be. And we will give it a look over, and most likely we'll find a way to incorporate you if you are so willing and able. All right, enough of that. So I will set myself aside and let the music do the talking without further ado. We'll be right back.
last month, I was celebrating the joys of being a woman, and I decided to read this thing. Now, I'm going to tell you something that it says in there. Direction number 2 in the little tampon book says, if you're not sure where your vagina is, you may wish to use a mirror. All right? Now, that's what it says, word for word. I swear to God, if you're not sure where your vagina is, you may wish to use a mirror. Okay, so I did, but now I have this really embarrassing mark on my butt from the dashboard. And we have a contraceptive sponge now. Anybody use this thing? I know there's girls in here that use them. I'll listen when you walk to the bathroom. The contraceptive sponge, if you've never seen it before, looks like a little strawberry shortcake that you get in a restaurant without the junk on it. Yeah, there's a few in. And what you do is you put a little water on it to activate it, and then you fold it up and you put it inside of you. But if you're not prepared for this, the first time you go to put it inside of you, it pops open like a big giant parachute. And you're not ready for this. You know, it doesn't say it, and you read your little direction book. Alrighty. Now, you have to leave this thing in for 7 hours in order for it to be completely effective. But you can leave it in for up to 24 hours for spontaneity. So my 7 hours is up. First time I went to take the contraceptive sponge out, I couldn't find it. I have long fingernails, I'm sure I was drunk, and I panicked. Now, so I can't find the sponge and I panic. What do I do next? 911? What was that one? Call your mom? Oh, yeah, that'd be good. Hi, Mom. I was out chasing some dick tonight, you know, and I didn't get lucky, and now I can't get this thing out of my badge. What do I do? I don't know, honey. Better ask your dad on that one. You call the hotline. There's a toll-free hotline on the box you can call if this happens to you. I swear to God. It's like 1-800, get this fucking thing out of me. I don't know. So I drag the phone in the bathroom. I got the hotline on one hand, got my other arm in there up to my elbow. I'm digging around. Swear to God, this happened. And after about an hour on the phone with this woman, I said, look, I can't stand like this anymore. I said, I've got a hold of something. And I'm not that sure what it is, but I'm fixing to pull it out. Just praying, of course, that it would not be my uterus. Right? Because as we all know, when you pull your uterus out on a date, it's very hard to get the romance going again. Some guys are so queasy.